Hey, it's Mo Arie.
And Tiffany.
And you're listening to the Hashtag Love Goals podcast. Before we get into this episode, I just want you to remember that every human, regardless of identity, needs these three things: belonging, authenticity, and love.
And after a decade of partnership, we've learned to co-create these things and so much more.
So from wherever you're listening, we're going to go on a journey of becoming our own hashtag love goals. Now let's get into this episode. Hey, it's Mo Arie.
And Tiffany.
And you are now listening to the Hashtag Love Goals podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank y'all.
Yeah, so Tiffany and I are members of the LGBTQ plus community. Mm-hmm. Don't know if you all knew. I'm saying that sarcastically. I'm sure you all know that by now.
I'm sure they've heard that.
but I wanted to spend some time this episode really talking about what it looks like to blend families, mm. but not from like a blended family perspective, but to like join your families of origin. Mm. So what it's like, especially as a queer person, to start a new relationship, to form a we, mm-hmm. and try to also integrate yourself into a new family dynamic that mm-hmm. is not the one that you grew up in, mm-hmm. but it's the one that your partner really mm-hmm. values mm-hmm. and grew mm-hmm. up in. And I think for so many people, this can be one of the most challenging times in their relationship. Mm-hmm. This episode is not just for people who identify as LGBTQ plus, yeah. but specifically for our LGBTQ plus community members. I think this episode will probably center a lot in maybe situations that feel common or similar mm-hmm. to you. Mm-hmm. I'd like to start with just a little bit of background about us. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I identify as non-binary transgender, mm-hmm. and I didn't in the beginning of our relationship. Mm-hmm. I was assigned female at birth, and I think I was exploring my gender identity around the time that I met Tiffany, but it was more unconscious. Mm-hmm. Like I was not really what I would say awakened yeah. to who I am. I just was more so starting to cut my hair, mm-hmm. do different mm-hmm. things that would express my gender differently. Mm-hmm. So when I met Tiffany, then we were technically presenting in the world as a lesbian couple.
Right, right.
And Tiffany came out to her family. Mm-hmm. I came out to my family. And the reception was different across yeah, the board.
Absolutely.
This is not really going to be an episode about how they responded or they didn't respond mm-hmm. because we have great relationships with our family absolutely. At this point.
Yeah.
It's really about how we got from varied responses across the board to great relationships. That's yeah. what it's really about. Yeah. So no sweat to, if any family is listening to this, it's no mm-hmm. sweat to family for how those conversations went then.
Yeah.
Because we've already surpassed that. This is yeah. really to help other people who have been where we have been mm-hmm. and need the support and to know that they can yeah. create belonging within their families. Mm-hmm. So it was varied responses across the board. Yeah. And I remember in particular me wanting to have a closer relationship with your family mm-hmm. and you being a primary roadblock in that process. I was yeah. like, I want to meet your grandma. I just know that your grandma is going to love me. I want to meet your family mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I'm just really great with family, right? And I came from a big family, so yeah. this was important to me. And Tiffany was like, not ready to do that work. Nope. So she was like, I'm not having it. And it yeah. was one of our largest, I would say, disagreements today.
Today's, yes.
I remember being so heartbroken. Like, yeah. she really does not want to love out proud with me. Mm-hmm. Like, she does not want to really honor our relationship mm-hmm. because she was worried at the time about how her family would mm-hmm. respond and things like that. You were mm-hmm. worried about mm-hmm. how your family would respond. And I remember that being just a really challenging time in our relationship. Mm-hmm. And I just kept bringing you around my family. And I remember the reception being like very open arms yeah. and you really have grown like really close relationships with my family. Mm-hmm. And I do remember some conversations we had where you kept being like during holidays, I think I would feel like you just want to be with your family. Mm-hmm. You really aren't present here. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that. You ended up telling me that It was that you wanted the same for our relationship in those spaces.
Exactly.
What I did not realize then, which I was kind of saying, but couldn't name then, mm-hmm. is that you weren't doing the work to create that. Mm-hmm. We were not doing the work to create exactly. that with your family yeah. because, you know, you had kind of put your foot down mm-hmm. and you were like, we're not going mm-hmm. to South Carolina. Mm-hmm. That's that on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I want a relationship with them. So this continued to be a thing for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were deciding we wanted to get married. So mm-hmm. it was like it had to be done, mm-hmm. in our opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, we were not going to get married mm-hmm. without this being mm-hmm. the case. That's kind of like not when that should have happened.
Yeah.
Quite honestly. I could do that over mm-hmm. again, I would have really put my foot down. Mm-hmm. No, I'm kidding. Like, I would have really spent time in therapy much yeah. longer talking about the need for me to have that relationship with mm-hmm. your family mm-hmm. and for them to have that relationship with me to get yeah. to know me. Mm-hmm. It was almost like you thrust me upon them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure from their perspective, because yeah. it's yeah. like, oh my God, this new person and, mm-hmm. you know, and then all of our insecurities come up when we meet new people. Is this person going to like me? And, mm-hmm. you know, they don't know anything about me. Mm-hmm. I could just seem like a Black person that went right. to fancy schools and is yeah. going to judge them from the small town. And
right.
So I think we had a lot of that had to have come mm-hmm. up. But at the center of it was you and you not wanting yeah. to bring those worlds together because you were afraid that.
Exactly.
Your family wasn't going to accept you mm-hmm. when they wanted to do nothing but accept you.
Mm-hmm.
I think you found this out later over time.
Right.
So I think if we could do that differently, mm-hmm. not to say that things would have been different.
Yeah.
But if we could tell anybody
mm-hmm.
or give advice, I think we would say to go about that differently now mm-hmm. and to actually have those conversations and be intentional and to really just share.
Yeah.
who you are mm-hmm. and allow other people to witness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you said a mouthful, but I 100% agree with you. And, you know, I feel like that was a huge challenge in our relationship
yeah.
very, very early on. And I have learned so much about myself over the years because of, you know, those challenges. I've been able to have even better relationships now than
yeah.
before.
Yeah.
As a result of going through those things. Mm-hmm. And I will say that what I have realized, or the heart of what I've realized about that moment in life for me, was that I was wanting so, so desperately to be seen.
Mm.
But I wasn't allowing myself to be seen.
That's powerful.
I wanted, you know, all of the people in my family, even friends, like people from the community, people that I had built relationships with pre our relationship, I wanted them to see me.
Yeah.
But I was still not even showing them the whole of who I was.
Right.
A lot of still my life was in secret.
Right.
Thank you for this issue. I didn't invite them into the process. So, you know, I'm working through this with my therapist, or had worked through the fact that, you know, I was wanting a thing yeah. so badly, but I was getting in the way of it.
Yeah.
And, yeah. you know, we could blame a lot of things for why I felt like, you know, I couldn't show up.
But ultimately, that was a choice that you made.
It was a choice that I made.
Because there's no hard and fast rule that because you're from South Carolina and you grew up in a church-going family and that you grew up in a small town, there's no hard and fast mm-hmm. rule that nobody will accept you because you're LGBTQ+.
Right.
I'm saying that there's not a hard and fast rule
mm-hmm.
that just because those were your circumstances and your experiences, that people are not going to accept mm-hmm. you, not going to show up for you
exactly.
and love you. Because just like those were your circumstances and experiences, it was also your circumstance that you had a family that showed up at every single one of yeah. your momentous occasions. That you had a family that's still proud to tell everybody you were the valedictorian mm-hmm. of your high school.
Mm-hmm.
That you have a family that loves you and supports you through everything,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, when they've had a little or when they've had a lot, they mm-hmm. was they were rallying their resources just for you. Those are all true. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when we're thinking about coming out, or we're thinking about our families meeting our partners, we're not holding the whole picture. We're looking at what odds are stacked against us. We're not thinking about what is actually at our back pushing us forward. Right.
Exactly.
A lot of times we have way more love. And if we could believe in the power of love and the capacity that love has to break stuff open, we would be able to love out proudly. We'd be able to be in our relationships in a very authentic way. Right. I think these are things that we've learned now. But if we can be honest, because I feel like it only helps us to be honest, especially having a podcast. Y'all can tell when we're not being authentic.
No. You can definitely tell,
Nova coming.
Yeah.
Changed their lives.
Yeah.
So once our daughter was born, it was like the relationships burst wide open. And for on all ends.
Yeah. Right.
I think the insecurities I had around my own journey, my own process around my gender identity and things like that, I was like, oh, now I'm someone's father.
Yes.
It solidified some things for me that I didn't see coming. So I show up in that space as like more than just baby daddy. I'm like,
not baby daddy,
but more than that, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm her husband.
Yeah.
This is our child. Right. Like, it really solidified some things for me that like broke me wide open where I'm like, this is my family. Yeah. Like, these are the people I'm about to rely on if this baby needs something, you know, it changed some things for me. Yeah. And I think, so then my level of eagerness to like really build some type of relationship in a different way away from this foundation laid by Tiffany not wanting to take me, it changed.
Yeah, it really did. It really did.
And then I think in the other relationships for other people, which I can't speak for other people, I've just seen how they've shown up so much more expansively and really been able to see our relationship. But I think you had some intentional conversations too, where you even let them, you cued them into how you had told me I couldn't come to South Carolina.
I was like, let me debunk some of these myths here, because I need it to be very clear that I took ownership of my role in essentially hiding. And I feel like at the time it felt like a protection. In my mind, when I'm like, no, you can't go to South Carolina, it's like, I don't want you to deal with any negativity, nothing. So no, like I would never want to put you in that situation.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So I see you have like tears, and I'm just wondering what's coming alive for you. Like, where is that emotion kind of resting inside of you? What's alive? And you can take your time.
You're coming with it in this episode. But I think what I'm feeling, the emotion is in the gratitude for arriving at this point.
Yeah.
In our relationship and in family dynamics.
Yeah.
Like, it was very, very challenging.
Yeah.
I feel incredibly grateful.
Yeah.
For being at this point. I think being at this point in our relationship, being at this point in family dynamics, to feel as if things are renewed.
Yeah.
And renewed in ways that feel even better than before.
Yeah.
So I think what's coming up is just like overwhelming gratitude.
Yeah.
I was initially going to say like some regret there, but I was like, I don't know that it's fully regret that this wasn't done sooner, because I am so grateful for this work. Like, at the moment, I'm sure I had zero level of gratitude for the difficulty and challenge. But because I see the fruits of that work, I see how much better the relationships are, how much better our relationship is. I just have so much gratitude. And so then that kind of puts regret out the window. So I feel like that's a lot of what's sitting right here. So it's tears of gratitude.
That's beautiful. And it feels like you understand how much, what sounds like what I'm also receiving from you is that nothing is lost. Because a lot of times I think grief or sadness will come up because we feel like we've lost something or we feel that an opportunity was missed or that time has been missed. And you haven't missed any time. You're creating a reality where you have the time now. You're getting to live that fully. That's what this work is about. Like living, really living. And when we allow our relationships to change and grow, it's not that we miss out on time. Everything that transpired was necessary for us to transform things. And then I say this a lot, and we say this a lot, but some of the things we're transforming are generational things that need to change. If you want some of the changes to last for your descendants, you might have had to spend some years on that. Whereas like it feels more instantaneous now. So everything that transpired was not just for you. It was definitely for you, but it wasn't just for you.
Just for me,
it's long lasting change that's going to last generations. Not the kind of change that comes and it's like, okay, well, we accept Mo because Mo is cool. The kind of change that makes it so that we're not even making assumptions about gender. We got people that's 70 gendering people appropriately. Come on, that's the kind of work we need to do in our community. I'm so proud of every one of our family members, my family members included. For the level of growth that they've been able to have given where they started. When we really think about when my parents were born at the end of the 50s. Martin Luther King ain't give his I had a dream speech yet. They're born. They're walking around. Computers were not a thing yet. Cell phones, forget about it. They can still remember people sharecropping. Or family members that did. My mother grew up on a farm. She could hear those stories from her grandparents about sharecropping. And just, it's crazy that we're not that far from that, but it feels like we are because things have advanced so much. So I'm proud of them for their ability to grow and to see a new generation of people who are freer. That's ultimately what we always want. But the fact that they're around to see it, I think that had we given them some credit, we would have known then that love was always going to be answered with yes.
I received that.
But we didn't know that. We had to go on our own journey of understanding that so we can pass it down to all of our descendants. That was our lesson. Sometimes we think the lesson is for them. It wasn't for them. It was so that we made sure we instilled this in every single generation following us. They were passing that down to us. But love, the answer is always yes to love. We don't always trust in that. We don't always come from those to come to those conversations with that. Now, that's not to say that people are not in situations where their family members are not showing them love. And that to that, that's a different situation. You might have already come from an environment where you weren't even being loved. We're not going to have any conversations with them about our identity and expect them to love us. You got a lot of other things to work through. So I definitely, I mean, on those situations, that's a completely different thing. But when we talk about you having already had the foundation of love, I already had a foundation of love. So many of us already have foundations of love. We have these really close attachments to our family. We still go to every single holiday, but we won't bring our partner. There's no judgment in that. I'm saying that to say, like, we've been there. Tiffany would go home without me. we get, like, we completely get it. Mm-hmm. We are clearly in love with these people because mm-hmm. we going to spend every holiday with them, exactly. leaving the person that we love too. That's a hard place to be sitting mm-hmm. in when you could really have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
There's nothing that says you can't have your cake mm-hmm. and eat it too.
Exactly. And I agree with you, Mo. And I feel like sometimes we have these, what we perceive as protection mechanisms that we put up
mm-hmm.
or that we, you know, enact out of anxiety or fear.
Yeah.
And they are not necessary.
Yeah.
In some cases, it might be necessary. But in this particular instance, if I look back on it, I don't know that it was fully necessary for me to have that level of, nope, I'm shutting down. You can't see what's happening over here. But I was still showing up. I was mm-hmm. still engaged in a way that felt safe, but had all of these protection mechanisms.
You were just
up.
In comfort.
Exactly.
You were in your comfort zone, mm-hmm. which was showing up just enough to be present, but not really sharing yourself with the people exactly. you were in relationship with.
And it was a comfort zone, but not really comfortable mm-hmm. because I will often say, like, okay, I'm here with my family for this holiday. I don't really feel fully present. I don't even feel that comfortable. And so, yeah, I feel like it was my comfort zone because it was like you were saying, it was easy to show up just enough.
Yeah.
But was it the most fulfilling?
No. And then most of those people would probably say now, I really wish you would have felt like you could talk to me. And it probably hurt them to know that you kept me from them. And it was your choice.
It did.
And it was really like, oh, yeah, it seemed like a simple answer now. Love.
Yeah.
Yes. Always yes to love. Yes to showing up authentically. Yes mm-hmm. to creating belonging in our families. It seems simple, but mm-hmm. I know that anxiety. Mm-hmm. I know what it feels like to be seen mm-hmm. fully,
mm-hmm.
to have a part of you be visible now that has been hidden.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most liberating choices you can Ooh. Make in your entire life. After you had shared those things, did you not feel free? It's a different kind of freedom.
It's a different kind of
and
freedom.
You showed up in our relationship different.
Mm-hmm.
Things I didn't know were attached to that situation that kept being repetitive patterns in our relationship around vulnerability. All of that dissipated mm-hmm. after that conversation. I'm like, she's a changed woman. What is happening?
No, you're right. That it can be some deep rooted things.
It often is because yeah. our family of origin is our foundation for home.
Yep.
It's our foundation for grounding,
mm-hmm.
belonging. Even our ideas about money come from the root.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much our foundational understanding of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot discount that. Anytime yeah. you have something going on with your family, whether it's that you're not sharing your partner with mm-hmm. them, mm-hmm. you're not out about your identities, you're separate from them in mm-hmm. some way. Unless you've intentionally done the work
yeah.
to be solid in that relationship with yourself,
yeah.
you likely have some foundational grounding that you really need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Some narratives to get clear about. You have to ask yourself, why, if I really love these people and I'm going to them every single mm-hmm. holiday and I want to be there, would I not share this person yeah. that I also love with them?
Yep.
Does not matter how backwards you think they're going to be, how often you think that they're ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
What I know about people that love, if they had the capacity to love you enough where you want to go back, they're not trying to be disrespectful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They can learn. They can adapt. They need to know how that hurts you.
Yeah.
They need to know how it makes you not want to tell them anything.
Mm-hmm.
Watch them change when you change.
Yep.
But it's important that we own our voices.
Yep.
Our voices have to be heard in order for people to listen.
Mm-hmm.
We have to allow ourselves to be seen for us to be visible.
Yes.
They've never met a queer person in their life, let alone a transgender person. How would they even know how to interact with me, what a misgendering is, what a dead naming is? They don't know any of that. They have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times we go into these assuming people are, because they're doing something that we are hurt by, mm-hmm. like misgendering,
mm-hmm.
that they're doing it on purpose. And I had those kinds of mentalities at a point.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to tell people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you should teach people how to treat you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in full ownership of it now.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I know I want love, I'm going to go about creating love.
Yeah.
And relationships get created, whether you were born into that family or not.
Yeah.
So just like you had to do intentional work around allowing yourself to create the relationship mm-hmm. you wanted. Mm-hmm. I had to also do that work with my family, with your family, yeah. around showing up fully. I was not showing up fully. Mm-hmm. I knew from day one they was going to want to love me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because you were so hesitant about me being there, I was like, oh, are they really just not going to like me? Yeah. And I've seen so many people play that out, whether it was that the parent was, you know, not liking them because they mm-hmm. weren't in the same race mm-hmm. or whatever the thing is, we their partner shows up like, are they going to accept me? Are mm-hmm. they going to like me?
Mm-hmm.
We all have to do the work to clear that up, exactly. to love out proud, to be who we are exactly. authentically and really not necessarily demand love, create mm-hmm. love, and see how we receive it in return.
I think you're absolutely right. And we often talk here about how, you know, we are mirrors for one another in our relationships. Yeah. I think the same can be true for family. Mm-hmm. If I'm approaching, you know, my family from an anxious place,
that's a word.
You're not going to accept me. I have all of this fear.
That's what
nine times
too.
Out of 10, it's probably going to be some of that on the other side. And so I realized that the more I spoke my voice, mm-hmm. loved and lived out proud, I start seeing things I didn't even know that they were capable of doing.
Wasn't your mom at a pride parade?
Yes,
or
like I'm like,
I'm like,
huh?
First of all, how were we not taking? I think it was happening while she was in Philly or something.
She was in Philly or something. But the level of my ability to own my story and mm-hmm. love out proud and mm-hmm. freely, I think sparked in them to be able to do the same thing, to openly love their child who identifies in this way, or to openly just live their lives in mm-hmm. the ways that they would like to. Mm-hmm. It felt liberating for them as yeah. well to see me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you can say the same right. thing about your family, but right. it just goes to show you mm-hmm. how when we own our own stories,
yeah.
we can impact the people that are around us.
Absolutely. They're just like us, yeah. just like us. Mm-hmm. So if we're worried about how people are going to perceive us, they're yeah. also worried about how people are going to perceive us.
Yep.
They grew up with those same doctrines and institutions, mm-hmm. so they don't know anything else.
Mm-hmm. And they're also having these protection mechanisms. Mm-hmm. If you're worried, like, okay, you know, you're worried about your identity and how you live, then they are like, okay, well, how's it going to be for them going out in the world?
Yeah.
And so then they're in protective parent mode.
And then these identities too, as they're shifting, mm-hmm. as you're understanding new identities about yourself, mm-hmm. I think in particular in your situation too, you know, as you were learning new things about yourself, this meant that you were changing.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when we change in relationships, people can wonder what their place is. Mm. So you did all of this at the same time you're about to get married, yeah. all of this stuff. So it's also like, while you're wondering, will you see me? Will you accept me? They're wondering, will you see me and still accept me because yeah. I'm different? Mm-hmm. People have ultimately, we have in our society, created a society of sameness as comfort. So we're stepping out of the comfort zone and we're kind of pushing the mm-hmm. envelope by being different. Mm-hmm. And people at the end of the day just want to know, even though you're different from me, will you still accept mm-hmm. me? Will there still be belonging and home mm-hmm. with you?
Mm-hmm.
They're not seeing you as less than. Maybe some people are trying to do that, mm-hmm. but ultimately on a human level, when people see different, they usually think that that person is better than
yeah.
them. That's what we usually equate different to mean. Mm-hmm. And we like people to be doing the same thing yeah. as us because it makes us feel better about right. our choices.
Right.
But to stand in that autonomy by yourself and say, well, I'm going to be different over here. I want to love you. Come on over here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come over to you. That changed some things yeah. for certain. Mm-hmm. But they are probably over there thinking, you're different now. Will you still love me mm-hmm. in all of my ways? Mm-hmm. And
I mean, that gives great perspective.
Yeah,
it really does. And I think that's great perspective to anybody listening who's feeling like, you know, there's so many different things that are changing all at once. Like
yeah.
it could feel like whiplash for the person on the other side. And they honestly, truly, regardless of behavior, at the root of it could be feeling like, where is my place?
Where is my place?
Will they still want to be in a relationship with me? Will I still have a place in their lives? And I don't think it excuses any mm-hmm. sort of ill behavior that might be happening, but I think it really does give perspective to that. Because,
well, in the ill behavior, bad behavior, whatever we want to call it, maladaptive behavior, survival strategies come from this place of fear.
Yeah.
And fear, and that's not to minimize the mm-hmm. impact of that. Mm-hmm. But if we can recognize that, what we can do is offer it love.
Yeah.
Love is the only thing that is going to change fear.
Yeah.
When we separate ourselves, what we're doing is furthering the fear. Fear is all about separation, mm-hmm. isolation, mm-hmm. duality. Mm-hmm. When we operate from love with those people who are challenged by their own fear, what we do is bring them back to oneness, unity, consciousness, togetherness. Mm-hmm. That is what creates change mm-hmm. in our relationships. Mm-hmm. So it's often that they're experiencing fear, like mm-hmm. you're saying. Mm-hmm. So we're not trying to minimize the negativity that might be occurring, but our response to that matters because we are in our own full creative power. We can't change other people. So we get to decide, you know what? You are not growing at the rate that I want to be in a relationship with. And by all means, do that. But I'm talking specifically to the people like us who going home to the holidays to mm-hmm. be with your family, wanting to spend these holidays, but then you don't bring your partner.
Yeah.
If that's any part of your story, I really want you to rise to offering that fear love.
Yep. Yep.
There's really only love.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can offer those relationships love and you can live out proud, what you're going to be doing is creating oneness, togetherness, unity, consciousness in those relationships. Mm-hmm. And it's going to stop being about separateness. It's going to be so different mm-hmm. that on the other side of it, you're going to be like, I can't even remember the last time we even had a difficult moment.
Mm-hmm.
I would have not believed that 3-4 years ago. If somebody would have said that to me, I'd be like, huh? Now our interactions have nothing to do with my gender identity. I'm just a person.
Yeah.
And I love that for us.
I love that for us. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, we could just keep going. Yeah. Tiffany, because we centered a lot of this in, you know, you, I want to mm-hmm. make sure that you feel complete before we roll out this episode. This is a longer episode.
Yeah. I certainly feel complete. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of the tears here are tears of gratitude.
Yeah.
I feel very grateful for being at this point, taking the opportunity to really have the necessary conversations, invite people in, invite my family in.
It's in welcoming other people
in. They wanted nothing more but to feel invited in.
Yeah.
And realizing how much of a role I played in whether I was seen or not.
Yeah.
Like, no one can come see me if, one, I don't see myself,
mm-hmm.
and two, I don't allow it. I'm hiding it. And so I just encourage anyone.
Yeah.
We're always talking about be your own love goals.
Yeah.
Be your own love goals and your family and your relationship, whatever the case.
Yeah.
Live out proud. Allow yourself to be seen. It is so worth it. It's so worth it.
Ooh, that was good for me. Be your own hashtag love goals with Mo Ari
and Tiffany.
We look forward to seeing you soon. Have a great day. Be well.
Bye.
If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe.
If you want your question featured in an upcoming episode of the hashtag Love Goals Podcast, go ahead and send your question to lovegoalspodcast@gmail.com. Check out our website at lovegoalspodcast.com and follow us on Instagram @lovegoalspodcast. We look forward to hearing from you soon.